Guys, I'm so excited to talk to you today. I have been doing some research this week and I can't wait to share with you what I've learned. So, in chapter four, John Eldridge begins by talking about predators. And he says that Jesus, throughout scripture, urges us to recognize that we have an enemy that prowls around waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's interesting because this week I was reading another book called Dreaming with God by Bill Johnson. And he goes on to quote 1 Peter, where he says to be sober and watchful because our enemy is like a roaring lion. And he went on to say that the roaring is loud, and the enemy oftentimes prowls around us and uses loud, bad news to kill, steal, and destroy from our lives. And that really resonated with me because not only do I see bad news when it comes to social media or the news cycle, but there's also just bad news in my brain a lot of times. And I know that I will meditate on worry and anxiety. I will literally always go to the worst case scenario. Like, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? And then I'll just sit right there in that thought for way too long. And especially in the season of my life where I'm feeling discouraged and I feel like my prayers aren't being answered, it's been really easy for me to focus on the discouragement. It's been really easy for me to focus on how God's not answering me. And it's just sent me into the spiral of sadness and despair. But hearing Bill Johnson and John Eldridge talk about the truth that we have an enemy, I mean, John Eldridge puts it so well. He says, imagine if you could look into the spiritual realm and you could actually see the enemy lurking around the boundaries of your life, how he's seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Imagine if you could see him in action. It would cause us to run as fast as we can and cling to our good Father for safety. But I realized as I was listening to Bill Johnson when he was talking about the loudness of the enemy, how hard we have to work not to listen to that loud voice that wants to berate us, that loud voice that wants to discourage us, that loud voice that wants to focus our gaze on the negative as opposed to the good and the holy and the pleasing. And it reminded me of something that my friend Anne often tells me. She always says, instead of asking yourself what's the worst that could happen, start asking yourself what's the best that could happen. Why not meditate on those thoughts instead of the worst case scenario? And so this week, what I've done is I've set a 2-minute timer on my phone, and I literally, for 2 minutes, just speak out what's the best that can happen. And if I'm honest, I went into it with a little bit of attitude, like, okay, Lord, you want to know what's the best that could happen right now? I'll tell you what's the best that could happen. But as I started saying it, as I started saying, okay, well, this to me, this is the best that could come out of this situation, it started to lift my spirits. And I'm telling you, it set my feet on a different path for the day. And it totally shifted my perspective. And it truly has been so helpful. And listen, it may sound a little woo-woo and it may sound a little ridiculous, but the truth of the matter is, both science and scripture back up the fact that our tongue has the power of life and death. In Proverbs 18, 20, and 21, it says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. And then in James 3, 3 through 6, it says, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all of the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of the fire, which is crazy. And not only that, but science backs it up. There's a neuroscientist named Maria Richter, and she and some other scientists did an experiment, and their study proved that negative words released stress and anxiety-inducing hormones in their subjects. Ultimately, negative words, whether spoken, heard, or thought, not only caused situational stress, but also contributed to long-term anxiety. Now, on the converse of that, there was a doctor called Dr. Andrew Neuberg, who is a neuroscientist. He did an experiment and discovered that a single word has the power to influence the expression of genes that regulate physical and emotional stress. And he says, by holding a positive and optimistic word in your mind, you stimulate frontal lobe activity. This area includes specific language centers that connect directly to the motor cortex responsible for moving you into action. And as their research has shown, the longer you concentrate on positive words, the more you begin to affect the other areas of your brain. it's so crazy because both science and scripture are showing us that our thoughts and our words lead us in the direction that we are going to go. Our thoughts become words and our words become actions. And so this week, I have really been encouraged to stop thinking about the loud voice of the enemy. Stop allowing my mind to go to those negative thoughts and really pushing myself towards the positive. You know, scripture tells us that we can renew our mind with the washing of the word. And I've always taken that to mean like we can renew our mind by sitting and thinking on God's word, the truth of his word. But if I just put it in this literal context of science, we literally renew our minds by positive words and thoughts, which again is a scriptural principle. And so I would just encourage you guys this week to meditate on the truth of who God is, the truth of who he created you to be, and set a 2-minute timer on your phone. Sit and dream with the Lord. Sit and tell him, Lord, you know what? This is the best case scenario for me. This is what I would love to see. And call it out to him, speak it out to him, and let that encourage your heart and mind and set your feet on an incredible new path. I really have seen the fruit of it in my life this week, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I just encourage you guys to do the same. Anyway, I hope this was encouraging to you guys. I'm so thankful for you guys. The power of community is such a beautiful thing. And I'm so thankful to have you guys in my life. I'm so thankful for your encouragement. I'm so thankful for your prayers. And thank you for letting me pray for you. I love it when you guys send in your prayer requests. I love praying with you and for you. So I appreciate you guys so much, and I hope you have a great week.